voices shout for joy. For when the Lord returns to Zion, our people, our land will be restored, and they will call upon the one.
Shabbat Shalom. Welcome. Welcome to Shabbat
Shalom.
Thank you for coming to Ar Yehuda, and thank you for all who are watching us on the internet. You're tuned in to Ar Yehuda Messianic Jewish Congregation in Bristol, Virginia, and we're about to start our Shabbat service here. We have a guest, Rabbi Peter Oliveira, and we have Anthony and myself, Diane, and go ahead and start.
Okay, we'll start off with some liturgy, the blessing to the Messiah. Brukatat anai lohenu melech haolam, asher natan lat lat derek, ha-Yeshua Mashiach, Yeshua, Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who's given us the way of salvation in the Messiah, Yeshua, Amen. Do Ma-Tov. Ma-Tovu. O Halekah Yaakov, Mishkenatekah Yisrael, how goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, thy tabernacles, Israel, the Anivarovakdeka, Avobeteka, Eshtakave, Elheka, Kashima, Mirateka. And in thy great compassion, I will come into your house. There I will bow, there I will fear thy holiness, O Lord. O Lord, I love the house where you dwell, in the place where your glory resides. I shall prostrate myself and bow, bend the knee before the Lord my Maker. And as for me, may my prayers to you, O Lord, be at the right time. O God, in your abundant righteousness, answer me with the truth of your salvation.
Vishamru v'nei Yisrael, let ha-Shabbat lasod et ha-Shabbat le'dor tamborin d'olam. Vishamru v'nei Yisrael, let ha-Shabbat lasod et ha-Shabbat le'dor tamborin d'olam. B'nei, O B'nei, B'nei Yisrael, B'nei Yisrael, O hi lolam. B'shamru, B'nei Yisrael, le'et ha-Shabbat, la'sodet ha-Shabbat, le'dor tamborin d'olam. Kisei shel amin asa Adonai, asa Adonai et ha-shamayim. Veshamru v'nei Yisrael le'et ha-shabbat la'sodet ha-shabbat le'do tamborin d'olam. Oveyam hashavash, shavat nina fash, shavat nina fash, shavat nina fash. Veshamru, v'nei Yisrael, le'et ha-shabbat, La so de ta shabbat le do tambourine do lam.
The children of Israel shall keep the Shabbat, observing it throughout their generations as an everlasting covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Shabbat to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord. Let's do the servant of the Lord. And now the Lord says, He who formed Israel in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and gather Israel to himself, for he is honored in the eyes of the Lord, and God has been his strength. Is it too small a thing for Israel to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob, and bring back those of Israel he has kept? He will also make Israel a light for the Gentiles, that he may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth.
You're going to play prayer for Jerusalem, Carol, or you have
no.
It? She's got it.
Oh, you do have it?
I don't know. I can't see.
Okay, we don't have the words or the song, Pray for Jerusalem. So I would just pray, and you all pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this Shabbat, Lord. We thank you that even though it's raining outside, your love and sunshine and glory is on the inside here today, Lord. We ask you to bless Peter, Rabbi Peter, this morning, Lord, as he brings a message to us and tells us about his work, your work, that he's working with you in the island of Haiti, Lord. We ask that you bless everyone that's here this morning. We ask you to bless all the Jewish people around the world, Lord, that they will truly one day receive your son as Yeshua, as their Messiah, their Jewish Messiah, Lord. We pray for the Messianic communities around the world today, Lord, on this Shabbat, that you will bless them. Bless the rabbis and the worship leaders in those congregations, Lord, today. We ask especially that you bless the land of Israel today. Protect Israel, Lord. And the United States has said that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. But we haven't. Well, Lord, we've known that for thousands of years, that Jerusalem is the capital of the Israel and the Jewish state, Lord, no matter what the UN says, Lord. We pray today that you will bless Israel and protect her. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.
And now we'll have Avinu Malkeinu. Carol's got a special rendition.
Avinu Malkeinu, Chonenu Vanenu.
For the Shema, please. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echa, Baruch Shem Kevo, Malhuto Leoam Vaed. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might. And have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise. And you shall find them for a sign upon your hands, and let them be frontlets between your eyes. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gates. Amen. Okay, we're going to... Okay, Greg. Charlie, will you open the TV? And Greg, will you and Bill Batiste carry the Torah this morning for us?
Mika moka b'elim Adonai, Mika moka nebar bar kodesh, nor I tehilo, oh say fele, oh say fele. O Lord among the gods, who is like thee, Lord, there is none else. You are awesome in praise, doing wonders, O Lord, doing wonders, O Lord.
What is the answer to that ancient question? There is none like you. En kamoka v'alim Adonai, v'alim kemaseka, ma'kuka ma'miko olamin, u'mashakaka v'kor dovador. Adonai melech, Adonai melech, Adonai imlot le'olam v'ed, Adonai oz le'amo yitain, Adonai varech et demo v'shalom. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord, and there is nothing like your works. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion is throughout all generations. The Lord reigns, the Lord has reigned, the Lord will reign forever and ever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace.
Amen. And you can begin the Torah procession. Carol, get some music going there.
Ma tovu manaim shevet achim gam yachad. Hine ma tovu manaim shevet achim gam yachad. Hine ma tovu shevet achim. Come yachad, hinei matov, Metachim Gam Yachad. Hine Matovu Manaim Shevetachim Gam Yachad. Hine Matovu Manaim Shevetachim Gam Yachad. Hine Mahu Shevetachim Gam Yachad. Tachim gam yachad, hinei tovu manaim, shevetachim gam yachad, hinei matovu manaim, shevetachim gam yachad, hinei matov, hinei matov, la 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 la, hinei matov, hinei matov. Pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together. Unity to dwell in unity. La 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 la. Unity to dwell in unity. La 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 la. La 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 la.
So our own Vaya Moshe Kunra Adonai Via Vutu Oveka Via Nutsu Sempaneka Mipaneka Ki Mitzio Tate Torah Ki Mitzio Tate Torah Udavar Adonai Miarusha Laim Baruch Shenatan Torah Torah Baruch Shenatan Torah Torah Le'amo Yisrael Pidushato. And when the ark would travel, Moses would say, Arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered, and let them that hate you flee from you. For from Zion will go forth the Torah, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Blessed be he who in his holiness gave the Torah to his people, Israel. Amen. Y'all may rest the Torah. Yamod Asher ben Zedekiah, La Torah, Baruchu Adonai Hamvarah, Baruch Adonai Hamvarah Leoam Vaed. Baruch Adonai Hamvarach Leoam Vaed, Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam. Asher Barmako Mikam Amin Vatin Lanu et Torto Baruch Atah Adonai Notain my Torah. Amen. Bless the Lord, the Blessed One. Blesses the Lord, the Blessed One, for all eternity. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who's chosen us from all peoples and given us his Torah. Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the Torah. Amen. And you can be seated. Okay, today's Torah portion is very gosh. It's from Genesis 44 through 47. And there's another little piece I've got that is in Ezekiel 37, which is the half Torah. Usually don't get into the half Torah, but today I may mention just a little bit. And very gosh means, and he approaches. You know, this, if you read the Torah portion today, you will discover there's two words that describes this parasha. One is recognition, and the other is reconciliation. So we find today, you know, forgiveness is the center of faith. You have to be able, the scripture says that in order for God to forgive you, you must be able to forgive others. So forgiveness is the center of our faith. We can't, if you can't forgive, you're in a bad state. But today we see when he's talking about, he approached, he's talking about Judah. You know, if you remember in the past couple of parashas, Joseph was put in a pit, and his dad, Jacob, was told that he had been killed by a wild animal. But he's actually in Egypt, and the famine has occurred, and the brothers have come. You know, we were talking in the Torah parasha, the Torah class this morning, about how Abraham went to Egypt. And then now we see today Joseph is in Egypt, and later on Jacob and all of his the family are going to Egypt. It's the setup for the Exodus. And we see as Abraham came out, and as God told Abraham, you'll be in exile, but I'll bring you out back into the land. And so we see today Judah is approaching Joseph because they have discovered that this Hebrew viceroy, and we'll call him that, he was like the second in command to Pharaoh. And you have to understand about the Egyptian pharaohs, they considered themselves a god. They wanted people to worship them. When they rode in their chariots through the streets of the cities, the people were to bow and pay homage to them because they felt they were a god, that they were above all the other things on the earth, and they were with the Egyptian gods. But they see that this man who has sold them food to take back to Israel is actually the brother that they put in the pit and that they sold to the traveling caravan. So they're caught off guard quite a bit. They're a little bit scared because of how they treated Joseph and the fact that they sold their brother into slavery, really, because he spent a lot of time in prison. So he was sold into slavery. So they wasn't really sure how that was going to turn out. You see, this was a turning point in their relationship because Joseph forgave them of what they had done to him. He was forgiving. And that's the way it was with the Torah. You know, there's different levels of understanding. It's just like the people, us that are here today, this congregation. We all have differences just like Joseph and his brothers did. But we see a formula that God had created in Joseph that was a survival for Israel and also led to their existence. Just because they didn't recognize, we don't always recognize everybody in the body of Messiah, but we're all different in the body, but we have to recognize those differences and come together as one. That's what God wants. We are echad with God. We are one with God. And everything may seem different because we're diverse, but we are all one. You see, each has their own individualities. But it's, as I say, secret of the brothers was to accept and appreciate the individuality of Joseph, because at an early age, Joseph was chosen to be the leader. He is a forerunner, a shadow of Yeshua, because he redeems the Israelites just like Yeshua has redeemed all of us that are believers. He's a prototype or a shadow of the Messiah. And a foreshadow is something that God's going to do at a later time and date. And that's what he did with Yeshua. We see in the half Torah, in Ezekiel 37, it talks about the Son of Man. And it says, take a stick for Judah and all the house of Israel, and then take one for Joseph and put it in the hand of Ephraim and all the house of Israel. And they shall be one in the house of God. And all, as you join the two sticks, they become one. It represents the messianic redemption of a different walks coming together. All the different messianic communities. Everyone is maybe just a little bit different. A lot are similar, but there's differences in the messianic community. But when we come together, we are one in the body of Yeshua. It's a unification, and it's the appearing. It's God is letting us know that we all have differences, but we're all one when we come together. Our individuality are the elements that make us different, but they're the elements that make us become one. It's because we are different. Many people observe, like this time of the year, many people observe December the 25th. I don't know what today is, 23rd. They observe it as a Christmas holiday, the birth of the Messiah. But regardless, I think today, of your convictions of the date of his birth, the important thing is he was born. That's the most important thing, was that he was born. His birth is significant because from the manger, we see our redemption begin. Was at the manger. When his birth, our redemption, the redemption process that God started before the foundation of the world was actually started at his birth, when he was birthed in that miraculous story, in that miraculous thing that God did. You can call it an old gospel story if you want to, but it's still, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but would have eternal life. You see, the most important thing to remember is Yeshua was born to die for our sins and to make us right and acceptable in the eyes of God. You cannot approach God and be unholy and have sin in your life. You have to be sinless through the blood of the Lamb. And you see, God was vindicated because Yeshua was raised from the dead because of the righteousness of God. And his birth, again, was the first step in our deliverance. So that's the Torah portion this morning. Shabbat Shalom. You guys will come and restore the Torah this morning. Vizot HaTorah Asher Sam Moshe Lifnei Bnei Yisrael Al-Piyal Denai Biyad Moshe. And this is the Torah that Moses placed before the children of Israel at the command of the Lord through Moses' hands. Etz Kaim Hi Lamazim Kiba Letokeha Merumshar Derakehi Hai Dere Noam Mikovativoteka Shalom Ashkivenu Adonai Elehavi Vashuva Kahadesh, Kahadesh Amenu, Kahadesh Amenu, Kekehedim. Wisdom is a tree of life to those who hold fast to her, and all who uphold her are blessed. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Cause us to be turned to you, O Lord, and we shall return. Renew our days as of old. Amen. You can be seated. We're going to do worship. Okay, we're going to do worship now.
you would scatter them tonight. Scatter them by your might and by your glory, Lord. Father of life, scatter the enemy, so all men might know that you are God. Father of might, rule in your majesty, so all will know that you are Lord, that you are King. You rule and reign over everything.
Again, would you take the taste of the world out of our mouth and fill our hearts with your desire, so our desire would be yours, Lord, to honor you, to worship you, to be a light for your kingdom, Lord. So again we say, unfailing love, Father. I thank you for life in this place. I thank you for life in Ybor City, Lord, that you would turn this city to you, Lord, that once again your name and your name alone will rule and reign here. Not the name of men, not the name of religion, but you alone. face, Abba.
That was great. Thank you, ladies. We're going to, we mentioned earlier we got Rabbi Peter from in Haiti. He's going to lead us this morning in the Shalkan Adonai. So Deborah's going to come and serve you, and I'm going to assist her. And but prepare your hearts as Rabbi to Shalkan Adonai.
Speaking the blessing over the bread, okay? Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, hamotze lechem min haaretz. Amen. Blessed are you, Lord, our God, King of the universe, for you have provided us with the bread of life, Father. Thank you, Father. Divine, wonderful. Hallelujah. What can take away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Yeshua. You can say Jesus, Yeshua. Same thing. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Yeshua. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Yeshua. Bless the Lord. Thank you, Father.
When you're ready.
As you come, I just want you to be aware of an amazing reality. What you're taking is a physical thing, but it's connected to a supernatural thing. And I just want you to know that what you eat, you become. So, as you eat of this bread, don't make the mistake that our ancestors in the wilderness made when they ate it every day and all they had to say is, "What is this?" For this is the bread that came down from heaven. And as you drink from the wine, just remember, he is the vine and you are the branches. I just pray that as you eat of these natural things, that you will be blessed with your spirit man within, that he may increase and we may decrease. Amen.
That's
We have in no YDF school. You got a okay. There'll be no, so the kids will be up here this morning. But I think they'll enjoy this. We're going to do offering now. Okay, this morning before Rabbi Peter comes, and you've sort of heard him a little bit early this morning. And we're going to give you an opportunity to bring your tithes and your offerings this morning. Just be aware, we are going to take up a love offering for him after he ministers this morning. So just keep that in mind. And we've got some cards that we have passed out to some. If you don't have a card, if you'll pick one up as you come up with your offering, or if you're not bringing an offering, just come and get a card. And he wants, if you can take a look at it and see the information he's asking, and then he'll tell you about it as he ministers this morning. And at the close of the service, we'll collect them in the basket that I've got set up here separate. So this morning, let's just pray for the tithes and offerings, and then you may come. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this Shabbat. We thank you for Rabbi Peter that's come, Lord, to minister this morning, Lord. We know that he has a special message just from you through him. So this morning, Lord, bless everyone that's here. Bless the gifts that we are bringing to your storehouse this morning, Lord. And we pray that you will bless, and it will be used to the glory of your name. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. So come when you're ready.
Shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. And surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord
you. Thank you. This morning we're going to turn the service over to Rabbi Peter O'Very, and I think we can say you're from Haiti, and I'm not going to say a lot this morning, but I'm on him. He's going to come and minister, and he'll tell you all about what he's doing down in Haiti and what God's got him down there doing.
Bless the Lord.
Come this morning, Rabbi.
Hallelujah. Peter. I hope you don't mind if I stay here.
Do what you want.
Hallelujah. It's very difficult for me to speak behind a bima. The messenger is wired kind of funny, but this is what you got. And hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I send greetings from my beloved, my glory, who is not here with me. Not because she can't be here with me, but because she hasn't seen the boys in a year. And so she just sends her love from the distance. She's in Georgia right now enjoying her sons. And so without her, I am a king without a crown. However, I am a king because there is a King of Kings living inside of me. And so this morning, we just want to turn our attention to the King. So, Father, we love you and we thank you, Father, for the amazing opportunity you've given us here to come, Father, Echad, as one, Father, to come and to drink and to eat and to worship you, Father, to praise you, to see, Father, your word, your written word being carried around, Father, to have the honor, Father, of placing our hand on that thing that so many have given their life for, Father. We love you, Father, and we really don't have words to express what this is all about. I don't even know if we understand what it's all about. But we bless you, Father. And we ask this morning, Father, that we will decrease and Messiah will increase in us, Father God. We ask, Father God, that you bring forth a story and a word and a message that will minister to Messiah in your people. We pray, Father God, that this morning, Father, the anointed one that they accepted to be the Savior of their soul, the one who sits on the throne of their heart, that he will be fed this morning, Father God. That his identity will be revealed, Father, in a way that it has not been revealed before. We thank you, Father, and we ask that the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be pleasing to you, O God. In the authority that you've given us through the Son, we say these words. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. You know, the scripture says we shall overcome by the word of our testimony. There's three things, you know, the blood of the Lamb not loving our lives unto death. It's interesting because the blood of the Lamb, that's out of our hands, and not loving our lives unto death, that's a little out of our hands too, because you never know when you're going to be put to the place where you're going to love your life, not love your life even unto death, because you're only going to know after you're dead, because so it's out of your hands. The blood of the Lamb is out of your hands. You couldn't do anything about that. It was done for you and for me. But there's something there in the middle of this scripture, and I feel the Spirit of the Lord really wants to activate something this morning in this tremendous, awesome, full house. This place that he has entrusted to shake this city, to reveal the manifestation of who he is to this town, to this city, to this state, even this nation. And so it is in that authority that I come this morning to kind of like what they did with Yeshua in the boat. Yeshua, wake up! Because this Yeshua is sleeping in the back of the boat of our hearts, and sometimes somebody needs to just come and shake him and say, get up, because there is a storm. And we don't know what to do with the storm. We need him to rise up inside of us, that he may rise up and say to the storm, peace be still. And maybe your week has been great and everything is fine in your life and there's no troubles at all. You may not even understand why people are worshiping and praising and someone is shouting, hallelujah, hallelujah. You might be sitting there saying to yourself, man, I just wish things could be a little calmer. Let me tell you something. Sometimes when someone is screaming, hallelujah, out of control, it's because they don't know what else to do because everything is caving in on them and all they can say is praise Adonai. It's all I can say. And if you only knew what happens when we begin to audibly speak the name of our Father, to speak the name of our God with the fullness of the strength that He's given us, if you could only see how the enemy camp scatters in fear. It can't comprehend. How is it that we've been attacking this daughter all week long, all week long, all week long? She has no strength. She has no power. She's got nothing. And suddenly she stands up and says, praise you, Jesus. Praise Yeshua. Praise the Lord. It's very confusing to the enemy camp. I want to speak this morning about this part of how we are going to overcome and how we overcome. And we really can't do nothing about the beginning, nothing about the end, the blood and the death. But there's something in the middle, and this is the key, by the word of your testimony. You shall overcome by the word of your testimony. Now that's the one thing that we're stuck in, and that's the thing that we have something to do with. And the amazing thing is this, is that that middle piece, that central piece of how we overcome by the word of our testimony is impossible if there is no testing. You cannot have a testimony without a test. And it amazes me because as in our humanity, we gravitate constantly, daily, to get as far away from testing as it is possible. Every situation that provides a test for us is the place that we do not want to go. It's difficult. It's uncomfortable. It's frustrating. None of us want to go there. It's amazing, Shaul, the Apostle Paul, you know, someone gave him a revelation, like a word of knowledge. We need a word of knowledge. Word of knowledge is the man who puts on this belt and goes into the city is going to get beat up real bad. And Paul gets up, he goes, now I know where to go. And he goes right into Jerusalem. That's the word that said you're going to get beat up over there. He goes to the place where the test confront you in the face. Well, this morning I want to encourage you. Some of the difficulties you're going through, you're not going through them because there's something wrong with you, or because there's some kind of thing that your ancestor did, and now you're suffering because. Let me tell you something. The reason why you're going through some tests at this time is because God is building you up, strengthening you to overcome. And so, you know, it's easier to speak about these things than to actually live them. But I can honestly tell you that 12 years ago, we were leading a congregation in Rhode Island. Everything was fine. Trying to get away from all the tests, making sure everything is smooth, making sure everybody got here on time. Make sure everybody showed up. Maybe make sure everybody prays and worship. You know, it's always the same thing. You have like two or three people who are like, Adonai, Adonai. And everyone's just sitting down watching, you know. Like, you don't understand. The people are sitting down watching. You don't even understand that what they're doing here is opening up the atmosphere so God can flow. So you go home and say, you know, the service was awesome except for the Adonai. You don't even understand. It wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for the Adonai. Just saying, just throwing it out there. And what's wrong with my brothers? Why are my brothers over there? Do you guys just have an all-girls dance thing? I wanted to join, but I didn't want to be out of, you know. I don't know what's going on. I mean, the reason why you were in nightclubs back in the day is God was preparing you. Training you. to praise him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. All right, that's not what we're talking about this morning. But anyway, so there I was, a young rabbi. I'm still a young rabbi. Leading a congregation, everything is fine. And we're having like a leadership meeting. And I'm the rabbi, so I'm leading the leadership meeting. We had, you know, the bagels and the little fluffy things and the chopped up fruit. At our house, everything was beautiful. Had a beautiful house in Rhode Island. Everything was nice and wonderful and sweet and lovely. And we used to go around and everybody had something to share. And then at the end, we'd kind of figure out what's the most important topic. And then we're going to pray about it and decide what we're going to do. That's the way we ran things when everything was nice and fine and beautiful. And as we went around the table, there was one of the shamashim or elders or whatever you call them. And sometimes I don't even know what the names are, but you know what I mean. One of the people in leadership said, yes, I have a proposition. I said, sure, what is it? And they said, well, someone approached me and they said, there's someone who needs someone with a garage with space to put some boxes in, which are donations for an orphanage in Haiti. I'm like, okay. And? Like, all right. And then she looked at me and says, Rabbi, we noticed that you have a 4-car garage. We were wondering if you have room in your garage for the boxes. And you know, there's a difference between what you're thinking of saying and what you actually say. Because in my mind, I was like, the last thing I need in my garage is boxes. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, I don't want to be a jerk here. So I'm going to say okay, because, you know, what am I supposed to say? But my question is, how long are these boxes going to stay in my garage? But I didn't ask that question, see, because that would, like, reveal my heart. And I, you know, you got to protect your heart. You got to protect it. Ain't nothing good about the heart. Wicked. This is crazy. Out of our body, there's one place of our body that's putrid, and that's the place God wants to come and live in. What is going on? I said, oh, sure, that's fine. Yes, you can use my garage. So they brought the box, like a big truck of boxes, shoved them in my garage. Every day I went into that garage, every day I grumbled and mumbled, because, like, what is this with these boxes in my garage? I can't, like, I need to do a project. I need to do something. I need to come up with an invention. I need to work on my remote control airplanes. And now I got to move boxes out of the way to get a special drill or a special thing. Like, this is really in my way. This is very inconvenient. How long? Well, Shalom, daughter of the king, came in right on time. God bless you. Hallelujah. So there we were, frustrated to no end because these boxes are in my thing. And besides, I'm thinking to myself, this is so ridiculous. These boxes are probably belong to some kind of like Christian mission. It's some Christian, like, we are messianic. If I'm going to do something, it's going to be connected with the people of Israel and Yeshua. And like, I'm holding boxes for some Christian people who have something going on in Haiti. Man, I was so aggravated. Just don't act all holy out there. You're looking at me like I'm trying to tell it like it is. Amen. I'm just keeping it real. So, time went by. A year went by. They were forgotten. Whoever got these boxes, done forgot them. I was like, God, so many times I just want to put them in the dump because they wouldn't have been missed. They forgot them there. So there I was one Shabbat, like this morning, coming up. You know, we got the music. Everybody's getting everything ready. The sound system is all right. The shofar is where it's supposed to be. Everything is all set. Everything is fine, right? And all of a sudden, the service begins. And there's an elderly couple, an elderly African-American couple coming in through the door, kind of with their head down, and they go right to the back seat and sit down. I never seen them before. And they just kind of like sneak in there, like making sure nobody saw them come in. But you know, the Spirit of the Lord can see all things. You can't hide from the Lord. So I'm trying to get things started, and I look out there, and the Spirit of the Lord just takes my eyeballs and goes, like, focus. That's your focus. You know, they're trying to hide. The Spirit of the Lord says, that's your focus right there. So I look and say, okay, what is that? I don't know what's going on. And the Spirit of the Lord speaks to me and says, they take care of royalty. Bring them up, honor them, and bless them. Refresh them. They're weary and tired. I'm like, okay. I said, ma'am, sir, could you please come up? And they're trying to hide in the back, you know. So they're like, who was? He says, yes, you come on. So they come up. And they come up and they sit down and I get some water and I'm taking their stinky socks off and I'm washing their feet and I'm anointing their feet and the elders is coming around and anointing them and covering them and blessing them and speaking over them and they begin to weep. I don't know who these people are. They just begin to weep. And finally, when it's all calmed down, you know how it is when the Spirit is moving, everybody's crazy, everybody's like, rah, 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 hallelujah, you know, and then finally sense comes into the room, people are acting normal again, and we can like communicate like normal people, right? When everything gets calm again, the man decides to speak, and he's in tears, and he says to me, Rabbi, thank you for your gift of kindness. And I'm thinking to myself, what is he talking about? I don't know what gift of kindness he's talking about because I didn't do anything. I'm not doing this. The Lord told me to do this. I don't even know who you are, brother. I mean, it's the love of the Lord you're feeling here. Not like, I don't even know who you are. It's not personal. And he said to me, no, you don't understand, brother. Rabbi, we've been so discouraged. And we came in here, and he actually said this, which is an amazing. He said, I can't believe I had to come to a synagogue to see the love of Christ. That's what he said. I was thinking, where else would you go? You know, that's my rabbi, you know, I understand that. So anyway, so I'm like, wonderful. So I'm like, okay, all right, right. And he continues talking. And he begins to say, you know what? We have been so discouraged because our ministry in Haiti, our orphans in Haiti are suffering so much. We don't have the funds to take care of them. It's been a year that we found somebody who was holding our boxes. We don't even know where these boxes are right now. But your encouragement to us this morning was amazing. And I'm sitting there saying, oh my God. These are the owners of the boxes I've been kicking. Like, our Father cracks me up. I mean, it's like you think you're, I'm a rabbi. I'm ministering unto the Lord. For 1 year, the only ministry the Father is watching is me kicking boxes. And the Father is waiting for the moment when he's going to reveal. He's going to give me an identity because I am supposed to be a steward of things that are going to kings. And I'm kicking them because it's annoying me. You see, sometimes it takes a while for you to get an identity of what God is doing. We suffer from this. You can come here for 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, and come up, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom. Oh, God bless you. Visham Ruben. You can do the whole thing, and suddenly, one day, the Spirit of the Lord just, boom, hits you, and you awaken to the reality and says, Shabbat Shalom. It actually means something. It's a reality. When I speak Shabbat Shalom, I'm speaking the perfect peace of God over your house. And you begin to understand it. And you lose your mind, which is a good thing because we're supposed to lose our mind because we have a new mind. We have the mind of Messiah. And this other Adam mind trying to figure it all out. And he just needs to decrease so Messiah can increase in us. Where are we going with this? My heart was broken because this man did not know that the boxes he's talking about are in my house with like boot marks. And he's telling me, thank you for your act of kindness. And it's like those words were just tearing me apart because I didn't do anything for this man. On the contrary. And I said to him in front of everyone, I can't accept your gratitude for my act of kindness because I have not done anything that would be an act of kindness to you. And then I said, an act of kindness is not giving what you can spare, what you can afford, or a little room in your garage because, okay, I guess you can. That's not an act of kindness. A true act of kindness is when you give something that you need, something that has great value to you, something that is a treasure to you, and you recognize something in someone that is so precious that you're willing to part with this precious gift because you want them to remember that you are friends and that their well-being is the blessing of your heart. And so I looked at him and I said, you know what? I'll tell you what. It's not too late to repent. Although I can't accept your gift of kindness thing, I can repent. And today, in front of everyone, I will repent. And I will truly give you something that is an act of kindness. And I took off my beautiful tallit, which I need. It was a lot more beautiful than this. I mean, it was a very expensive tallit. And I folded it, and I put it at his feet. I went to the altar, and I got the shofar. I went and I got our menorah. I got everything that we had that makes us a messianic congregation with our identity. And I put it at their feet. And as I was turned around after doing this, I turned around, there was a line of people. The people begin to see. And one by one, they started coming up and bringing offers. And there was like a pile of things. Some people put their shoes that they brought for Shabbat because they didn't have some shoes. Some put checks. Some put some money. Some put one of the most amazing things. A man came up. He took his shirt off. There was a man in our congregation without a shirt on Shabbat because he put his shirt at their feet because he understood there's something happening here that's greater than my desire to allow people to see that I have a nice shirt and I'm being decent. You see, when you are awakened to the awesome passion of God, decency is out the window. You don't even know what decency is anymore. And there was a man sitting in that Shabbat service with no shirt on. His shirt had been laid at his feet. Husband and wife came up, took off their wedding rings and put it at their feet. You see, by my act of recognizing and acting on what I recognized opened up the windows of heaven. We became so connected, so involved with this couple. We went to Haiti to see their orphanage, and we realized that they were well beyond your ears of being able to do anything effective for these children. These children were suffering terribly. This elderly couple had no ability to take care of the children. And so as a congregation, we began to do the best we could to help. And finally, one day, I was arguing with my glory, my beloved. I said, honey, I don't know what to do. This is insane. This is insane. Everything is so backwards. This is so difficult. Haiti is a difficult place. What the heck are we doing there? We're supposed to be like we have a nice house in Rhode Island. What's going on? What do we do? Well, on that day, the owners of the orphanage invited us to their home, and we went, and he had a tallit, actually the one I gave him, and he took it and he threw it on top of me and my wife. I said, okay, what's going on? You know, sometimes when people start doing spiritual things, it gets freaky because, you know, what's going on? What's going on? Let's just communicate like normal people. And he looked at me and he said, do you remember the story of Elijah and Elisha? I said, yeah, what does that have to do with anything? He goes, this day, I put the mantle of these children on you. You are now in charge of taking care of this orphanage. I said, okay, so I got up, and I didn't know what to say. Adonai just told me, just leave, just leave. And I go to leave, and he goes, can I please have my tallit back? That was just a symbolic thing. You still have the orphanage, but can I have my tallit back? So I'm like, okay, I give the tallit back. And I got home, right? And I said, honey, I think Adonai just gave us a key to enter into Haiti, because there's something about Haiti. We're supposed to be there, and these children are like the key to enter into a land. He's given us a key to a door that cannot be shut. I'm like prophesying. I'm all excited. And Lisa's like, honey, could you please calm down for a moment? Okay, I'm like, I'm all over the place. I can see the key. You know, I'm seeing little, you know, black African children as a key unlocking the door. I'm seeing it all. And she just keeps saying, honey, could you please? I said, what? Don't interrupt. The spirit is moving. She says, honey, how in God's name are we going to feed these children? Suddenly. Suddenly, they're in your hand. Suddenly. I said, I don't know. That's God's problem. Well, God's problem kind of like lands on our lap sometimes. Our congregation couldn't take care of our stipend and our salary as rabbis and take care of an orphanage at the same time. It was impossible. The children had no choice, but we had a choice. So we made the crazy move of getting rid of everything we owned so the congregation didn't have to take care of our salary and instead take care of the children. Now, I can't say, see how nice I am? Because believe me, that was not me. That makes no logical sense. So off we went to Haiti to take care of these little, I call them chocolate Yeshuas. That's what I call them. Because they're sweet, they're beautiful, and they're like a box of chocolates, and they're just... that's all I can say. That's all I can say. Hallelujah. I like this. Like my chocolate brothers are saying, hallelujah. The vanilla brothers are like, hallelujah. They're a little nervous. It's okay. We're echad. We're one. We're one. We are one people. We ought not to be stuck with our physical identity. We need to have our divine identity. We are ambassadors of a kingdom that is not of this world. So there we were, taking care of the orphanage in Haiti, thinking that, oh, we're good people, we're taking care of all these things, thinking, because we just didn't know, we didn't understand. You see, in the land of brokenness, what we didn't know is that charity is an amazing business. And people make a lot of money out of charity. So you can actually fix anything, because if you fix it, then you can't raise money to fix that which is now fixed. What I didn't realize is that Haiti has thousands of ministries and thousands of humanitarian projects, but the people are still suffering. And I'm like, what is going on? And so at first I didn't understand. In fact, I also didn't understand it. I show up and I'm talking to Haitian people at the customs, you know, and I say, I'm here. I got a picture of me next to the children. I says, I'm here. I got an orphanage. And the customs people look at me and says, okay. It's going to be an extra $300 to get your luggage. I'm like, I'm like, what's going on? I mean, I gave up everything to be here to bless these children. These children are not connected to me in any way. Like, I'm not Haitian. I'm just... And they couldn't care less because they realize if you're here, you got money to be here, and you got to dish out. And I'm like, Father, what's going on? And I realized it was impossible to actually lead an orphanage in Haiti thinking that you're going to do it like the normal way. Like, okay, we're going to have some help. We're going to help these children because it's a business. And the problem is I'm not there for a business. I'm there for the kingdom of heaven. And I still didn't understand why God put me there. I don't care about Haiti. I don't care about it. Like, I don't care about it. I didn't even know anything about Haiti. I don't know, some voodoo island people. Blah, 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 blah. I don't know. I didn't know. I didn't understand. There I am, stuck, and I can't go back. I don't have a home to go back to. I got nothing to go back to. I'm stuck. I don't even have time to tell you that we actually had to get a boat and we had to sail to Haiti. So we actually lived in a boat and we sailed on a boat to Haiti. I don't have time to tell you that crazy story and all the craziness that we encountered to just get there. I'm like, Father, what's going on? And we get there. And as soon as we get there, we have to move the children. In 2 years, we have to move them 5 times. Because if the moment the landlord finds out we are involved, they triple the rent. And now we couldn't even afford the original rent. They triple the rent, and we have to take off and find another home. And if you've ever had to move, and you know how difficult that is, especially if you have children, imagine moving an orphanage of children and having to find another place where you will be able to afford the rent. It was insanity. And there was nothing we could do. We were stuck. There was nothing we could do. Praying, Father, please help. So one day, after 2 years of moving all over the place, someone says, oh, someone needs to talk to you. Rabbi Peter says, yes, someone needs to talk to you. They're going to talk to you about something about the children in orphanage. I said, okay, I'm open. I mean, whatever. You know, you got to take, you know what I mean? We got nothing. You'll take anything. So this young man shows up, and he goes, yes, I want to show you a project that I'm involved with. I'm like, okay. So he brings me out to the country, and there's this, you know, very nice building, about 70% built. It kind of looks like it could be a school or some kind of thing. It's out on about 3 acres of land out in the country. Beautiful, beautiful property. And he said, what do you think? What do you think? I said, very nice, but why are you showing this to me? And he said, well, you know what? I was entrusted to do a project, but we don't have any children. I have the building and everything here, but I don't have children. I don't have an orphanage. So, and I hear that you have the children in an orphanage, but you don't really have a place. So maybe we can like work together. And I said, oh, all right. I said, the only one problem is we don't have any money. We don't have any money. Like what we have, we spend to feed the children. He said, no, don't worry about that. That's not going to cost anything. You can just use the building, and that's fine. And I'm like, hallelujah. You know, sometimes you don't know if it's like, sounds too good to be true. But then again, going through the Red Sea sounded too good to be true. I mean, like, what? Sometimes you don't know. Like, Lazarus come forth, sounds too good to be true. You know, you got to, is he really coming forth? Sometimes you don't know. So I kind of like tip my foot out there and says, okay, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, we're going to do this. Okay, I got you. Come and meet my mom. She's actually the director of this whole project. I'm like, okay, I'm meeting mom. Mom's okay, a little rough person, you know, but everything's going okay. And finally we decide, okay, we have about 1 week. We have to move these children. The building is 70% complete. We need to like go nuts trying to finish this project to bring the children in. So I'm out on the job site, and his mom shows up. And I mean, talk about Pharaoh. I'm like, what is going on? I'm thinking to myself, ma'am, slavery is over. Those days are gone. Why are you talking to these people like they're like animals? What? This isn't like, I didn't say this to her because I don't want to mess up the deal. But I'm watching it happen. I said, Father, what is going on? This woman is mistreating everybody, and it's causing all the workers not to do the job. And I have 1 week to bring the children into a place that's not being complete because this person who has no people skills is ruining everything. And I put up with it for a few days. And after a while, I said, you know, I was going to do the Moses thing, just wrap the thing around her neck and put her down, you know. But that's already been done. So, you know, we don't have to go there. You know, we have Yeshua now. We should deal. But you know, you still feel like doing that sometimes. Don't act all holy around me. Oh, I just knocked this. Don't act all holy around me. You just don't know what to do with somebody. So one day I decided, I said, I'm going to have a talk with this lady, and I'm going to use my best rabbinical rabbinic, eloquent, loving, anointed way to encourage her into doing what is right. Because all I need is just, by this time it's 2 days. All I need is 2 days. Once the children are in there, everything is fine. Everything is okay. I just got to put up with this. But if she continues in her madness, it's not going to get done. Workers are working, walking off the job. I'm going to work. I'm bringing food and water. And I'm blessing the Haitian men who are working. I'm like, you're a king. You're a king. I'm like, and I'm getting them all excited. So they're working again. They're getting ready to leave. Now they're working stronger. And I'm like, oh, Father, what do I do? So I go and I talk to this lady 2 days before we're supposed to move the children in. I get there, and I said to her, actually, I was staying at her house at this time. That's why I had a little open door to speak to her. I was staying at her house, at her property, and I said, okay, Father, give me the words. So I looked at her, and I said, you know, could I speak with you for a moment? She's like, what about? I said, I want to encourage you. You see, being a rabbi, you're really clever. Like, when you're correcting people, you start by saying, I want to encourage you. You see, because they think you're helping them. They don't know you're going to correct them, but you gotta say it in a way that they don't know they're about to get a correction. And they'll never know it's a correction. If it's a good correction, they'll just start doing the right thing. I want to encourage you. She says, encourage me with what? I don't need encouragement. She says, well, I just want to encourage you. I said, do you know that when we need people to get a lot of things done that are impossible, but we really need people to come forward and do them. I said, if you treat them with just tremendous love and encouragement, they will do so much more than they even knew they could do. And so we only have 2 days. And the way that the people, the workers are being treated, it's discouraging them. And I just want to encourage you because you're someone who has a very powerful presence. And I want to encourage you to use this gift God has given you to for the kingdom because you're an amazing person. And this is the truth. I'm telling the truth. You know what I mean? You just kind of have to like help someone see it in a different angle. And she looks at me and she goes, what are you talking about? Who is talking in the wrong way to the workers? Who's ruining this? Tell me right now and I'll have that person fired immediately. And she said, and she's going like this, now, I don't have time to beat around the bush. I said, well, it's you. Famous last words, it's you. Not even 5 minutes, security was grabbing me, throwing me in the street of Haiti at night with a locked gate behind me. I had no phone. I had no way to communicate with anybody, did not speak the language. I had no idea how to even get to where our little orphanage was to go and tell our director we have a huge, major problem. Like we have 2 days to move the children and the whole thing fell apart. I'm stuck in the middle of the road. And let me tell you something. I can say this. In Haiti, you never go outside at night alone. Even if you're a Haitian. You just don't do it. You don't go alone. You always go with other people. There I was in the streets of Haiti, out in the middle of Timbuktu. I had no phone. I had no ability to contact anybody to come and help me. And I was livid. I was angry. I was scared. I was frustrated. And let me tell you something. If you've never been there, but I think you have. There are moments where things are so bad that you don't say, Lord, dearest Father, Lord, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not wanteth. I leadeth down the... You don't have time for a psalms. You don't have time for a prayer. You don't have time to ask the angels to come and do whatever they do. And those turkeys are always invisible. And I know they're doing stuff, but I don't see it. sometimes. So you don't have time. You don't have time to get all holy. And everything that's inside of you just comes out. And you start saying stuff that you don't normally say. And you say, God, what's going on? What else do you want from me? I left everything I own. I'm stuck in this God-forsaken land. And I'm stuck outside. I mean, in danger. I don't even know if I'm going to see my family again. And worse, I have nothing to bring these children to in 2 days. What are you doing? Oh, you know, I love it. I love it. And it's like Adonai's like on the throne, like he's paying attention to something that's happening in, I don't know, Afghanistan. It's like, hello, I am over here. Like, hello, knock, knock, anybody home? You know, you start praying and you start using like Hebrew words. Yeshua, Adonai Yahweh Yahweh. Like you're just trying to use a word to get his attention. Nothing, nothing. I'm sorry if I'm putting people to sleep. I'm almost done. I'm getting there. People told me you got to build a bridge. You can't just come out and give a message. You got to build a bridge. I'm trying to build a bridge. All right. So all that's happening is this. I'm in a really, really bad situation. And I know at any moment in time, someone will stop, pick me up, and take me for ransom somewhere. It's just the way it kind of goes when you're all alone. So I'm sitting here for several hours just pacing back and forth in the dark. It was almost 11 o'clock at night. I'm pacing back and forth. I can't see anything. There's just trucks with billows of smoke coming out of them. There's pigs and goats eating trash on the side of the road. I'm just pacing back and forth. Father, I don't know what to do. 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 And all of a sudden, this motorbike comes by. And the guy, like, I just remember seeing his helmet go like that. There goes my kippah. It goes, woo, like that. He just goes, woo, like that, right? And he hits the brakes. And he walks his motorbike back. And I'm looking at him and says, okay, here we go. This is not the right day. Brother, you picked the wrong day to kidnap a blanc. That's what they call you in Haiti. I'm a blanc. In Haiti, I'm a blanc. This is the wrong day to kidnap a blanc. I'm going to mess you up. I'm telling you, you don't want to come near me. I'm not a violent person, and I never took any karate or anything like that, but I've seen enough Chuck Norris movies. I can mess you up. And he came and he's looking, he's being a little cautious because I'm getting ready. I'm going to mess this up. I don't care about nothing. I'm going to mess it up. And he's coming closer, about as close as he could get without getting hit. And he looks at me and he goes, Rabbi Peter? I said, oh, yeah, that's me. He goes, you preach in my church? I said, yeah, I did. See, because in Haiti, we're always getting invited to preach in churches. He was at a church with 15,000 people. He was in the audience, and he remembered me. And as he was driving at night, passing by me, saw me, and stopped. Who is this God we serve? Now, I know, we clap because this is a hallelujah moment. But for me, it was still not a hallelujah moment. I still got a huge problem. Okay, so now I have somebody that can barely speak my language. And maybe they can find where the orphanage is. Because you got to understand, I have no direct, I don't know where I am. As a matter of fact, in the United States, we're using gadgets to GPS our butts around. And we don't even know where we are. When the GPS goes out, we're like, where am I? Where am I? I don't even know where I am. Imagine, I'm in Haiti. That's how I feel. So I got a big dilemma. I said to him, do you remember there was a Haitian person that... orphanage. I'm connected to it. Do you know where they live? I gotta get to them. It's an emergency. He said, yeah, I know. The director of your orphanage. I know. I guess everybody knows everything over there. So off he goes on the motorcycle. We get to the orphanage. When I get to the orphanage, now this is the place where we're only gonna be there for 2 more days. I'm outside the orphanage and I'm hearing a chanting. I'm like, what the heck? I don't know what this is going on. But they need to be quiet because I need to think. I need to think and I need to concentrate. Okay? So I get to the door and they open the door and the children see me, right? And they see me through the dark and they start jumping and they're going, Nougat la victoire! Allez, allez, allez! Nougat la victoire! Allez, allez! Let me translate. That means, we got the victory! Allez, allez, allez! We got the victory! They're like marching and screaming and I said to the director, I says, okay, listen, we got a little problem here. You got to tell the children to be quiet. We have an emergency. Let me explain what happened. Years back when we first met the children, I taught them, when it's the darkest, when it's the most hopeless, when there is no way out, this is what you do. Start singing, we got the victory. Allez, allez, allez. Allez means get away, get away, get away. And it's saying to the enemy, we got the victory. Shoo, shoo. And so that's what they were singing. But they weren't singing because they thought there was a problem. They were praising the Lord because in 2 days they were going to go to their new orphanage. So I'm trying to tell them to be quiet because I need to think, what am I going to do with these children in 2 days? What am I going to do with these children? So I said to the director, I said, Ernst, you need to shut the children up because I need to think. So Ernst goes to the children and he goes, hey, 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 like this, right? The children understood that to mean you're not praising the Lord loud enough. So they louder, Nougat la victoire, allez, 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 Nougat la victoire. I said, Ernst, what are you doing? No, you got to tell them to be quiet. I said, Ernst, whatever you got to do to shut them up, we have a major emergency. And so Ernst does what they do in Haiti, pulls out his belt, folds it, and waves it. That's a sign to children, it's time to sit down. And believe me, in Haiti, it works perfectly. You know, Haiti doesn't have all these crazy laws we have in the United States. In Haiti, you pull out a belt and whip it around the children, listen to you. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay, he pulls out his belt. The children think he means, if you don't praise louder, I'm going to whip you behind. And they start screaming. And my eardrums are bouncing in my ear. I can't think. I can't say, my God. So I said, this is insane. So I go over and I cover my ears. And I close my eyes really tight. And I said, God. And when I talk through my teeth, it means like it's at the end. It's the end. I said, God, we have an emergency. And it's like insanity. What do you want me to do? And you know, sometimes if you close your eyes really tight, you can see God sitting on the throne. So I'm looking at you. I'm looking at you. Because I'm in the middle of insanity and I'm looking, what are you doing? And I could swear, I look with my eyes at the throne. I could see Adonai going like this. Like, what's going on? And I mean, so I'm looking at the cherubim and the seraphim, you know, they got the little wings, they're going like, Ravita, ale, ale, ale. I'm like, what is going on? I said, I am all alone. I am all alone. Everyone's done lost their mind. And suddenly something snapped in my brain. I said, if these children don't care, if the director don't care, if that crazy missionary, insane woman don't care, if God apparently don't care, then I don't care. And I came out in the middle of the children and I just started jumping. Nougat la victoire. Allez, allez, allez. Now I'm telling you, it wasn't full hearted because it's not like I was full of joy. I was kind of mocking the whole thing, but I'm going to act stupid if everybody in the kingdom is going to be stupid. Nougat la victoire. Allez, allez, allez. And as I started jumping up and down, I started feeling this thing in my pocket, like a heavy weight in my pocket, jingling in my pocket. I said, no, you can't love it. I said, what in the world is jingling in my pocket? And I reach into my pocket, and I pull out just this long thing of keys. And I hate keys, so I know these are not my keys. I said, what in the world? Where did I get these keys before? And then I remembered about a week ago, this crazy lady had these keys to the property where the children were going to go. And she says, I don't want to be responsible for these. Who's taking them? And I remember thinking, I hate keys. I'm not taking them. And I remember the Lord saying, reach out and take the keys. She put the keys in my hand. I put them in my pocket, forgot all about it. She kicked me out with the keys in my pocket. Now I'm thinking, what do I do? I said, Lord, what do I do? I done got the keys to that whole property in my pocket. What should I do? The Spirit of the Lord, I said, what's the legality of this? What am I supposed to do? Adonai says, you have the keys to a door that cannot be shut. The next morning, I went to the property, look around, ain't no guards there. Took the key, opened the door. I locked the gate, went inside, opened the key to everything. And this Haitian family comes out of nowhere and says, oh, welcome. Welcome, Rabbi Peter. We're expecting you. I'm like, okay. Because I'm waiting to find out, when is the police going to show up because I got keys to a property? That's my. Let me explain to you what happened. Whatever this lady was doing, she was using somebody else's property that did not belong to them and raised a bunch of money to put up buildings that she had no claim to the land. So when she gave me the keys and kicked me out, she straight up gave me the authority to walk into that land and have an orphanage that we did not build, and we drink from wells that we did not dig. I'm happy to tell you that last year, by the grace of God, we were able to actually purchase the land, so that now the land is actually the property of the children that live in this land and in this place, and never again can we be pushed away. I really want to encourage you this morning. You see, because you come in here on a Shabbat and you look around and there's just a little handful of people. Some Shabbats there's more, some less. I just want to encourage you to understand something. The manifestation of the miracle of God came not because the leader had the vision, but because children believed their identity. They believed that they are sons and daughters of a king. They believed it. And because they believed it, their belief activated in the leader a manifestation, a supernatural manifestation that opened a door that cannot be shut. I want to encourage you, because this place has a shepherd that God has placed here. Yes. And I want to say something to you this morning. If you could just have a little bit of the passion and the reality and the belief and the faith that these little children have, imagine how far God will move this congregation in this part of this kingdom. Because your strength activates the miracle on the shepherd that's been placed here to lead this thing. So I charge you, sons and daughters of the living God, arise and shine, for thy light has come. We come every week and we eat, we drink. Let me explain something to you. It's crazy. It's like in the Catholic Church, they have a better understanding of what they're doing because they're actually scared because they're eating the body of Jesus. Let me tell you something. You need to understand that this physical thing we do is to build up the anointed one in us, so that when the shepherd comes and he's discouraged or he's not well or whatever, you rise up. Let me tell you something. Your identity is not people who follow Messiah. That was your identity. Your true identity is people who are manifesting Messiah, becoming like Messiah, walking as Messiah, preaching as Messiah, loving as Messiah, serving as Messiah, and then the world will know that he sent his son to redeem and save this world. Don't be discouraged because someone hasn't accepted Jesus or Yeshua. Just look in the mirror and ask yourself, when am I going to be what I'm trying to get them to accept? People don't need a story about Messiah. They need to see him. And he's in you. He's in you. We're all waiting for him to come. We're waiting for an event that's waiting for us. He's waiting for us to move in his authority, in his love, in his blessing, echad, as one. How good it is for brothers to dwell together, echad, in unity. It is the anointing oil, translation, the Christ. Anointing Christos Christ. The unity of God's people is the Christ that appears. We're waiting for an event. The event is waiting for us. Echad, to manifest the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. Okay, so there's probably the simplest. There's a few simple things that you can do. If you feel led to give an offering unto the Lord with regards to what the Spirit Lord is doing, we have some cards here, and there's the primary reason for the card is if you would like to receive a newsletter to see what your brothers and sisters are doing in Haiti. This is a blessing because once we get this, we can put your name on our mailing list, your emailing list, so you can see pictures and stories, and you can pray. And on our website, there are places where if you like to help, and you know, not only by prayer, but financially, you can do that. It's the simplest thing to do. Today, you can bring an offering as the Spirit of the Lord leads. And I believe that it's Beth, like the name of a girl, Beth Hesed. Yeah. And I'm dyslexic, so I can't really read it.
Yeah, that's right. So you want the check to be made? Am I on?
It's on the top. It's on the
phone. Yes.
That one?
Yes. Exactly. I can't see. So it's Beth has said.
Orphan to make the check out.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Praise the Lord. As you do that, I just want to briefly share something, a mystery that for the longest time I still couldn't understand why God connected us with Haiti. I didn't understand. And I remember one time I was speaking and there was this lady with shriveled up little fingers. She was very elderly. She could barely see, yellow white hair. She came up to me and she was rubbing my arm and holding my hand. And the translator came up and translated what she was saying. And she said, 70 years ago, the nation of Haiti changed his vote from no to yes on behalf of the nation of Israel. And we've been waiting for the blessing of the God of Israel. And she said, I had prayed that the Lord would not allow me to die until I see face to face a descendant of the people of the book. And with tears in her eyes, she says, now I can die. And it broke my heart because I realized that we have a nation of Israel because of this broken nation changing his vote from no to yes. Israel did not have the votes to become a nation, okay? It needed three nations to change their vote to yes instead of no. Haiti was one of those nations. Then I realized why we're there, to teach the kingdom and the things of the God of Israel. We are teaching our children how to cultivate the land according to Torah. The corn in our orphanage is so tall, it hits the ceiling. I have pictures of it. Seven stalks, seven ears of corn out of one stalk, the size of from here to here. I have pictures I can actually show you. And it's supernatural what God is doing. And I believe that God is going to use Haiti to bring Israel to salvation, because when Israel sees Haiti flourishing like a blooming flower and Israel wonders, how did that happen? They're going to see a bunch of little children with a Torah scroll singing, Nougin la vitva. So as you pray for us, as you're led to bless us in any way you can, you're connected to this story. This is not our story. This is the Father's story. So thank you for
Thank you, Rabbi.
Amen.
We have Oneg, and Rabbi Peter's going to pay the Koinmen blessing over us, and then you can bring your gifts up at that time. And Rabbi, go ahead and
bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Now, the first time that this prayer and this song was sang over the people of Israel, this was the instruction that your father, God of Israel, gave. He said to the Aaron, the high priest, "This is the way that you shall place my name on my people." This is not just a blessing, as if to say, "This is the way you shall bless my people." That's not what God said. God said, "This is the way in which you shall put my name on my people." So this places the name of your father on you, which means if you have his name, that means you have to have his identity. Thank you, Father. Hivirecha Adonai vayishmarecha, Yair Adonai panav alecha vichunecha, Hisa Adonai panav alecha veyasem lecha veyasem lecha. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be merciful to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his perfect shalom. Shabbat shalom. Thank you, Father.